Are we on the air?
No.
Okay.
Puff Theology Podcast, brought to you by the good folks at Distinctive Diamonds. The show you're listening to is rated R for religion. No cuss words on this program.
All right, whatever.
I'm a purist.
Flip us on. I like pig's feet. Flip them off.
Please edit out what I'm reprimanding someone for no reason.
Sean, I'm not having intercourse.
Hashtag get weird. I'm sorry. Make sure you edit that out. I'm embarrassed.
It's not going to be your average Bob and Tom today, it's boys.
All right, everybody. The show is on the air.
You know what, guys? I could be wrong, but I don't think I am. I believe this is our 30th episode.
Hey!
Yes. Right. Yes.
3-0.
Man. And I remember someone that told us we wouldn't get past 3 episodes.
Who was that?
You.
Oh, it was me.
Yeah.
I said, no one's going to listen to this thing. Why would they listen to this?
You know what I did?
What?
I said, haters are going to hate.
Yep.
And I just shook it off.
That's true.
All things are possible through.
Hopefully she bought that hook off of you.
Yeah, she did. She did. And I'm now retiring in the Bahamas. 30 episodes, 3-0. It's been a journey. It's been great. Once again, we're really excited to have Distinctive Diamonds on to sponsor the podcast. We want to thank them. If you're looking for some great jewelry, diamonds, necklaces, whatever you need, go to Distinctive Diamonds right there in Keystone at the Crossing. Get some stuff.
They're really nice people over there, too. I just saw them the other day, and they're very nice, so definitely support the sponsors. But we got to mention who's here now. Of course, Darren is the king of the podcast, Darren Earlywine.
Morning.
And you can find him at earlywine.net. No, what is you have an email address?
Pubpastor.
Pubpastor. That's your Twitter?
The Pubpastor.
And then you've got Aaron Pelsu here from the great Aaron Pelsu Band.
Hey, yo.
He was just in Nashville recently. And they got a guy named Nate. Is that right? Nate. And Nate is with My Yellow Rickshaw, which he plays the fiddle. Did I say that right?
You can call it whatever you want.
And I'm Dave Smiley. I am the radio genius here in Indianapolis, heard every morning on WZPL.
That's correct. That's correct.
Fiddle. He plays the fiddle, the violin, the mandolin, the banjo.
You're a man of many talents.
Mouth harp.
And I must say that I also purchased my
the washboard.
Distinctive Diamonds for my fiance.
Did you really?
Yes, I did. Yes,
well
I did.
Done.
Yeah.
It's the place to go.
That's
perfectly
not a coincidence.
No, right? Because you got it all free because of the podcast sponsor? To be honest.
That's how we roll.
I wish I could say that happened.
Oh.
What were you there for?
I don't go to Distinctive Diamonds.
You said you just saw those people.
I like them, but I've never been in the store.
I've heard they have a great bathroom.
I can't afford to go in there.
Oh. You got plenty of money.
Their chocolates, and selection of beverages while looking are excellent.
I'm just kidding. So, I've been in there, and their bathroom is nice. And they're good people.
Yeah, Eli's a great guy. Takes good care of people. So we're here for episode 30, the Pup Theology Indie Podcast, and we've got a new guest with us. We just introduced us around the table, but Nathan Klatt from My Yellow Rickshaw. Usually, we have the other co-frontman from My Yellow Rickshaw, Eric Maitland, with us. Eric couldn't make it today.
They cut him from the band.
Oh, he's not out of the band? He doesn't know yet?
He didn't meet the height requirement.
Oh, gotcha. Oh, hey, let's make it into short jokes here.
If you haven't heard My Yellow Rickshaw, they're really cool. They take like popular songs. Tell me if I'm wrong, but I've seen a few shows, but you take popular songs that you hear on the radio or whatever, and then you bluegrass them up.
Well, you have no choice because I can't play the cool instruments. So
it's really cool. It's so much fun, and people really get into it. I love that. And you guys have done the New Year's Eve parties for many years. I don't know if you're doing it this year or not, or you did it last year, but the times I've been out there, you've been out there. Big events, a lot of events around town. My Yellow Rickshaw, look them up.
Yeah. What's your guys' tagline?
Let's see. Indianapolis is self-proclaimed number one. This is a mouthful.
Self-proclaimed.
Pop, pop, rock, bluegrass, and R&B cover band playing your favorite hits on all the wrong instruments.
Ah, there it is. Nice.
Yeah.
Aaron, you need something for your band. What band are you? What's your Aaron Pelsu band?
Don't suck.
They do not. I can officially vouch for that.
It's good stuff. And then, of course, Aaron and Darren used to be at E91, but I don't even want to get into that.
Yeah.
It's very
deep.
It's
time to stop dragging that up. Yeah.
Let's let bygones be bygones. We keep moving. Into the future.
This is episode 30, okay?
Yeah. Okay, we moved.
We now have more episodes than listeners.
Do you guys remember when you turned 30? Or are you guys younger than 30? I don't even know your age. I'm 43, I think.
Next month?
30?
No.
What? I don't even know.
Nate, are you 30?
36.
36.
Oh, yeah, you're our age.
Cool.
So what was more difficult, turning 30 or turning 40, Smiley?
I think 30. Isn't that weird? I know. I was in Phoenix then, and I was at some place, Old Town Scottsdale, and we were drinking with friends and stuff. And I decided I left everybody, and I was so upset that I was turning 30. I went down to
went to have some time by yourself.
Yeah, yeah. So take a look at me now. There's just an empty
space. There's nothing left. I went to the edge of the canyon and I considered.
No, you listened to American Pie and sat there.
I went to the canal. And in Old Town Scottsdale, and I decided that I was going to jump into this. Now you got to realize it's like 3-4 feet deep. So if I would have just been waiting, I'm going to take this. I'm going to end this now. Yeah, it was so dramatic. I don't know. Then I'm just like, okay, I got to get my stuff together, go back in there, drink some more sake. It's raw in Old Town Scottsdale, eating sushi and drinking sake. But, yeah, I don't. Isn't that weird? So 40 was a little easier for me.
How come?
I don't know. But 50, I don't think that's going to be good at all. That sounds terrible, doesn't it?
That does feel
old.
Yeah, it's a long one. I remember turning 30. We were in, my 30th birthday, we were at a conference in Cincinnati, I think. And it was fun. I had a bunch of friends there or whatever. But I remember, distinctively thinking, like if you do something stupid when you're in your 20s, you can always feel like, why, I'm only 25 or whatever. Like, I'm still learning. But I had this distinct feeling that, dude, I'm 30 now. Like, I've got to – I mean, I'd already had – I had kids and, whatever. So, there's stuff was happening in my life. But I remember just thinking to myself, this means, I'm a grown-up now. I'm 30 years old.
Yep. Yeah, and I didn't have kids at all. I just knew that 30 was, no longer 20. So, it's time to get – grown up, and I didn't. And I remember that song, "My Next 30 Years" by Tim McGraw, was popular that year too. You remember that song?
I do remember that one.
I don't even know country music, but I knew that song. I was like, "My next 30 years, I'll drink a little less beer." Guess what? I didn't ever drink less beer. That didn't happen.
But you still got 30 more. I mean, you're only 43. Yeah. You still got 20 years to figure that out.
Next 30 years, yeah. I could. I mean, if you average it out, if I stop right now, I could really get it together.
Yeah, I mean, you're only 13 years into this story.
I know. I like the way you're thinking. Every day I'm hustling. Every day I'm hustling. Every day I'm hustling. Every day I'm hustling. You know what I'm saying? So, you guys love an indie? It's now, we got spring going on. Summer's coming. It's the month of May. It's the Indy 500. You guys like to go to the track?
Love going to the track.
Part of that?
Love the track.
I do, too. I really like going out there. Some people don't like it. Some people lived here, and they've never been to the Indianapolis 500 or
I'd never been until last year.
Is that right?
Yeah.
I love that, you got to take...
I was over 30.
Now that,
there you go.
I got a little Noah now. He's, 6 months... Six months old. So I want to take him out to the track because you get that in your system and you want to go back again because I love that roaring of the engines. And
you got the headphones for him?
You're supposed to protect their baby ears?
Oh, yeah.
No, I never thought of that.
Yeah.
No.
If you don't give him some headphones, earphones.
My daughter has some
that are
fluorescent pink. She wears them on our shows and stuff.
Darren's kid went out there one time and didn't have headphones on. The ears started bleeding, and a baby died.
Profusely.
It's no longer
just blood shooting out of his ears.
That's not true.
The caution flag came out and was getting all over the track.
Oh, no. That's terrible.
He was like, turn three for what? Blood was everywhere.
Turn three for what?
Yeah, no, my boys love going to the track. We've gone to the I've never actually – this year I need to step up. I can't. My oldest son has a travel baseball tournament in Ohio.
I saw him on Sunday. He came over and yelled at me.
Oh, did he?
Oh, I did. Yeah.
Enough of this travel baseball.
I'm not doing – Noah will never get involved in sports, anything, because I don't want to take him anywhere.
You know what? He won't have to go to counseling for that at all when he's older.
He'll be fine. Hey, listen, I'm just fine.
I had friends whose parents forced him to be in dance class, all the sports, tennis lessons, golf, piano lesson. He had to go to counseling
riding
for that. It was overdone.
Overexposure.
So,
I get it. There's both sides of that coin.
Yeah, I didn't do any sports or anything. Not because my parents were lazy, I don't think. But maybe they were. I don't know. But
they were too busy traveling.
Yeah, my parents were always in the ministry and music and preaching and radio stations and things like that. So
you never played any sport, not even one? Not one season?
No, not really.
Come on. You had to play something.
Look at him.
No.
Yeah. You look like you'd be an excellent lawn darts or bocce ball guy. You got some.
If cornhole was a letter sport in high school, I would have.
Yeah, when I moved here to Indy, they told me about cornhole. I was like, this is nasty. I'm not interested in this. But then I figured it out.
Dirty Midwestern people.
Yeah, I don't know what you guys do out here. I'm from California, which I'm not. I'm from Iowa, but. Cornhole is like, yeah. Remember when you first heard of cornhole?
Yeah, it's like, hey, listen, kids are around.
Listen, I'm not interested. Okay, you're cool, but I'm not interested.
What are the other names?
Throw bags in my cornhole.
The mini marathon.
What are the other names of it for it though? They're so dumb.
The beanbag game, maybe, or
yeah,
beanbag
call
toss,
it baggy something.
Oh, really?
I've never heard of cornhole.
Really?
Bag toss, maybe, or something like that.
Bag toss.
Oh yeah,
that's so much better.
That's so terrible.
You guys want to go out back for some bag toss?
No, I don't. I'm cool. You're fine. But listen, not comfortable.
Speaking of love and spring, it is spring. It's May. It's races. It's Indy 500. It's mini marathons. It's love. And Nate, we're going to go around the table real quick here. Share a quick love story. Since love is in the air, and you, my friend, are the newest member of this crew at this podcast, and the newest member of the crew to get engaged.
Yes.
Ooh.
Tell us about your love.
There you go.
Well done. Is there a date?
Is there a date set?
There is a date set, Aaron. Saturday, November 7th.
November 7th
of this year.
Of this year.
Mm, yeah, I like that.
Around
6 months. Yeah.
The corner.
Yeah.
So how'd you meet her?
Well, that's an interesting story. I actually used to work at a facility down in, some people would call it the hood.
No.
Next to 25th and Keystone.
Hello.
It was a place called Jiver Ministries. It was actually a sports facility.
Yeah.
Program that would, its outreach focus was to take non-traditional sports and place them in an urban environment where kids in that area would not normally get experience. So say, instead of having basketball or football facilities, they had a full-scale gymnastics facility.
Oh, cool.
Rock climbing, wrestling, taekwondo, things of that nature.
Oh, neat.
Cornhole.
You know what? They probably were working on that.
It was a leisure. Yeah. That's just a leisure.
Didn't they take kids snowboarding, too?
They were actually trying to put a park in at one point, a skateboard park that never happened, I don't think.
Oh, okay. Sorry. Continue. You're working with Jiver Sports.
Yeah, so I used to go there and volunteer. I'd get violin lessons. I'd help out. This is back in 2003 and 2004.
Okay.
And then I actually went on staff there and teaching. They had a school that was short-lived there for a couple of years, and I actually taught at the school for a while.
Okay.
And then I would just, when the school closed, I just continued to just help spot kids. My sister's a boat gymnast. I did that through about 2009 or 10 and couldn't go for a while just because of life and scheduling. I went back down there on my birthday, December 12th, 2013.
Happy birthday.
And sure enough, I walk in. I literally take a check in and I say, hey, I'm here to help get back in here. I used to be here all the time. I'm here to give some money. Who do I talk to? My fiance turned around. She was the first person I saw.
Nice.
Literally. Ah. Yeah. She was the girl's gymnastics coach then.
And she was like, a camper.
So you were like, here's a check and here's my phone number. Yeah.
You know, I didn't actually get her number for several months. I went down just for volunteering because that's at place. I actually lived right across the street from it too, so I have.
You were over there every day.
Back in the day, I was, and then I found ways to get down there and help volunteer there a lot. Hell yeah, yeah.
You really felt like the Lord was calling you.
He was really calling me to help.
Yeah.
To help at Jiver Ministries. Yes. Yeah.
So how long did you guys date?
We started dating in April of 2014.
Right
so, but I met her in December, so it took a few months. You know, I was just there just to help out, but obviously it was a nice combination.
So, how long were you guys dating before you thought, this is it? I need to lock this down. I got to put a ring on it.
Got to put a ring on it, like Beyonce.
Yes.
Yeah. You know what? I went into Distinctive Diamonds. Actually, there you go.
Nice.
There
you go. Well done.
Yep. I think we went in just to look around as early as June, I think. But I didn't actually purchase the ring till September.
But you knew in June, you're like, listen, we need to move this towards...
Well, I just when you know,
yeah.
I think. You know, and I'm older, and she's younger than me, but, you know, I haven't dated a whole lot, but I'm fairly aware at this point in my life what I'm looking for and when it's right. And
yeah.
In Jehovah Jireh, literally, it means God will provide.
Yeah.
And I always just said, God, if you want it to happen, you're going to have to do it, because I have no clue whatsoever how to do this. I'm not a player. I'm not a player.
He's
like
not a
Tom
player.
Cruise.
He just crushes a lot.
Yeah, I just crush a lot.
There we go.
Yeah, not much crushing.
Hot tub, sipping bubbly, spot love. That song? Still
what I,
not a player?
What I love is the library of songs within your mind vast and varied.
Your catalog
is
amazing.
It's really, really amazing.
We just went from Old Rugged Cross to, I ain't saying she's a gold digger.
That's pretty wild. So, yeah, for me, it was like it took me a long time to, and I was a player. By the way.
Yeah.
By the way.
I was, when I first moved here 12 years ago, I thought I was going to try to sleep with all my listeners one at a time.
Oh, my
yeah.
God.
That's, I was a bad, bad boy.
Well, that wouldn't have taken long. You got, what, six or seven listeners? I mean,
even
yeah,
Billy from Speedway?
That's right. But that's pretty cool, though, that you'd find her there, and she was there. And
So, Aaron, what's your love story? You and Emily have been married for quite a few years.
Yes.
You guys met when your hair was shorter.
Yeah, I had no facial hair. I was a soccer player, played soccer and tennis all through college, and she was dating a guy on my soccer team who I was an RA, and he lived in my section, so he was part of my we were called the Dog Pound. He was part of my pound, and we were brothers, like we, you know. And I was dating a girl you know, that Emily knew as well, who was older, and we'd been dating for almost 2 years, I think. But Emily and I stood right next to each other in the concert choir, and we were just really became really good friends. Like, yeah. We had similar sense of humor. We rehearsed like 6 hours a week at this concert choir because we traveled and recorded and stuff as a choir. And so we just spent 6 hours a week standing next to each other rehearsing. So we obviously had lots of, you know, conversation and became good friends. And
right.
We were dating people that were connected with each other. So we were just really good friends for about 2 years. And her relationship with a buddy of mine kind of fell apart. My relationship with, you know, my girlfriend of 2 years kind of disintegrated around Thanksgiving, and she and I were just really good friends. And so about 4 months later, you know, I was like, you know, she and I were having a conversation, and I was like, hey, you know, I don't want to ruin this really cool friendship we have, but would you want to go out on a date? She was like, yes. So we ended up, our first date, I took her to Wendy's, not just any Wendy's.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah.
It was Wendy's that was part of a gas station.
Oh. See, I thought you were like going to go pilot. Low class and upgrade it, but you knew what you tricked us there. You actually downgraded that substantially.
Yeah. This is a high class Wendy's that's in a pilot station.
What school did you go? What college is this?
There's not a lot of options in Grayson, Kentucky.
Dave, we got your quest to sleep with all of your listeners, but you never really told us the Sarah Brown story.
It's love, my friend.
True.
You don't know. You don't even know. That was the greatest. I met Sarah through the radio station. Tony, who's on the Smiley Morning Show currently, her best friend. So I always see Sarah at you know, when we go to Buffalo Wild Wings at Town in 86th Street over by Neon Johnny's back in the day. And next
that's my neighborhood.
Right? Yeah. So and so that's where I met her, and you know, it was a long time coming. I thought she was very pretty, and I thought she was very nice and fun. And but you know, I was playing around, and Tony was like, "Don't get involved with that guy." And so next thing you know, we're hanging out, and then we've been together for so many years, and then it was like you know, I was scared of marriage and stuff like that, but finally decided that, I mean, this is the right thing. And then now we have a Noah, and it's all good. So love. Love is awesome. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns.
That's
from
the power of
dun, 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 dun. So, yeah. So that's my love story.
And you guys are married for what, 3 years now?
But, yes. Yeah, no, well, since, yeah, a couple years, I think.
How long did you guys date before you?
Like 8 or 9 years. 8 years, probably.
Awesome.
Yeah. So it was a long time.
Was she, like, pro-marriage, or was she just like, you know what, let's just...
No, she was fine with it, and then that's what the appeal was, too, because I've been with girls that are like, what is this relationship we're doing? Like, I'm not interested. Yeah, I hate it when people are like, boyfriend, girlfriend? I was like, yeah, I didn't... So I think she knew that, but... And she was pretty cool about everything, and finally it was just the right thing, and my dad, and this guy right here, what is your name?
Darren.
Oh, yeah, Darren. Mm-hmm. Darren and my father did the ceremony. We got married at the top of the, I don't know, the Empire State Building or something like that. No, it was...
Of Indianapolis.
I bet that was awesome.
It was downtown. It was a cool ceremony. It was really
very
neat.
Cool. Yeah, that was a very, very
That's
fun
my
day.
Love story.
It's good.
Now, I like this love story thing. Now, Darren...
Yeah.
Darren Earlywine, you've been with this girl for a long time. You got so many kids. How many? Like 17 children now?
Yeah, 17, but we can only find 3 of them.
Oh, but that's amazing.
Yeah, 3 kids. 3 kids. I've been married. This is the third. It'll be 14 years this summer. Yeah, Julie and I met. It was crazy. I was in a band traveling, and she had already graduated, and it was the alumni director of her school. So they booked our band to come down and be like the band for their homecoming deal. So she's organizing the whole thing, and I'm just the guy in the band. And so we meet each other, and she's like in charge of it. And I was like, dude, that chick is so bossy. Like, I would never want to date a chick like that is that, you know, just bossing everybody around. And we played our gig that night and then went to bed. And I don't remember anybody telling us we had to tear down all of our stuff. So we get woken up by her banging on the door where we're sleeping, saying, I've got a big alumni, you know, event in this place. You guys have to get your crap off the stage. And so according to her, our sound man and everybody went and tore all the stuff down. And evidently, I sat in the back of the auditorium and just watched. And so she walks away thinking, that is the most arrogant wannabe rock star I've ever met in my life. Right. And I'm like, dude, she's the bossiest, most annoying chick ever. So we didn't like each other. But our lead singer was best friends with her. She was engaged to this guy. So her fiance and our lead singer were best friends. And so we just kind of stayed connected, you know, through those friendships. But then in the matter of a couple months, her and her fiance call off their engagement. And the guy that was in our band ended up stealing a bunch of money from us. And it was this big like debacle that kind of imploded my life. So both of us in about a 3-month time, these two best friends totally like wreck our lives. And we both end up moving to Indianapolis. She was in South Carolina. She moves to Indianapolis the same weekend that I do. We move into the same apartment complex, go to the same church, work at the same place, and volunteer with the same youth group. Like, our lives became completely intertwined in the matter of a weekend. And so that was like in August of 2000. And then we just hung out nonstop because we were around each other all day, you know, every day, until about November, or late October, early November. And I was like, it was kind of a thing where, like, all of a sudden, I'm like, I think I'm, like, falling in love with this girl. But then I was kind of annoyed by it because I was like, no. I didn't like her. And then she's having the same emotion. Like, I think I'm starting to love this guy. And, like, I can't. He's an annoying wannabe rock star.
Where were you guys working?
By the way, that's a true story. That's still going on. The wannabe rock star thing still holds strong to this day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Gets me into trouble from time to time.
It's inside of all of us.
Yeah. It dies hard. It's true. I was an intern for the Wesleyan. We worked at Wesleyan Church headquarters, actually. I was making a whopping $8,000 a year as an intern.
Congratulations.
I was rolling deep. So we started dating in November. And got engaged in March and got married the same weekend that we had moved there a year later. And that's, be 14 years ago this summer.
Wow.
So anyway, we're talking about this idea of love. And I think it's interesting thing is we shared like the beginnings of these love stories, right? And the interesting thing about our stories is we don't know how they end. Right, like we just told the beginning, so like we just told like chapter, like
probably divorce.
Hey, come on, let's keep it positive.
Oh, sorry, I didn't know you were going that way.
So
I'm gonna die at a young age. She'll she'll live off my life insurance.
That's not where you're going.
No, oh, okay. Well, it kind of. What I'm saying is like if years of our life in our marriage, right, are chapters, right? So I'm on chapter 13 now. Nate, you're like in the prelude, preface of the book, right? You know, Aaron, you're chapter 16. You're only like chapter 3, but you had like a bunch of pre-chapters that were like still, So the preface was really long. But no, I mean, you've got a decade in, right? And so we have these love stories that they begin, and it's like, oh man, that first part was cool, and they'll end somehow. And I mean, the crazy part is like we're all gonna die, and somebody's gonna die first. And there's gonna be an interesting couple last chapters where, you know, hopefully we're all old and we've had these great lives, but somebody's gonna die, and that which is interesting. Somebody was like saying that, you know, we're not single now, but the thought of it is that we'll all be single again, or at least 50% of us will, right? Because somebody will, maybe we'll be the one that dies first. But kind of a crazy thought of how the book ends of that deal. But one thing that I think is interesting about our stories and these love stories is sometimes when you find yourself in the middle of a story, it doesn't make a lot of sense. I mean, like, Aaron, we've talked to other podcasts. I mean, you and, you know, Emily and the saga of adoption you guys have been on, and you're writing some chapters of that, you know, saga even right now. And, you know, Dave, your guys' is, you know, kind of journey of trying to have kids and all that. Like, you have these moments of life that you're not sure, like, what kind of story am I in, or is this going to end well? And I think a lot of times when we just take one chapter of our life, we're not sure, you know, if it's being guided or directed. And if we bring it back to the God piece, it's like, is God really involved in this, or is his love something that's present in my life? Because I currently, like, chapter 13 sucks, or I don't know how it's going to finish, and I don't know if it ends well. And we actually talked about at our last event at Stack Pickle, you guys were there for Yellow Rickshaw was there as our band, and that night I talked about that in our stories is that the power of God's love is there to always redeem even the most, you know, crazy, unknown, or hurtful, you know, chapters. And we talked a little bit about, you know, the most famous scripture in the Bible, I would say probably most famous, is John 3:16, right? It says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him would not perish, you know, but have eternal life." And we know that scripture, but I brought our attention back to the last week of Jesus's life. Like, if you just took that small part of Jesus's life and just took like a couple days out of it, it would have looked like that God didn't love the world, that God didn't love his son, like things were not working out very well. I mean, if you just took, like, you know, from the Last Supper, you know, Jesus gets betrayed by one of his disciples, he's, you know, wrongly accused, he's beaten, he's crucified, and he's dead. And if you just said, you know, hey, is I mean, there is some kind of major construction going on outside your house here.
Yeah, that's actually, they're putting in a pool.
Is that coming through?
No, it's not that bad. People can't hear it. We can feel the vibration.
Literally a steamroller.
I know, there's stuff going on.
Don't.
Thank you, Marky Mark.
Yes. So let me go back to the story, and then we'll go wherever it takes us. So when you even look at Jesus' story, you can take that, you know, small piece of that chapter out and go, man, look, you know, God betrayed his son and he died. Like, if that was the only, like, you pay, you know, we're going to take page, you know, 234, you know, Jesus dies, you know, forsaken by the Father, Jesus dies. And that was the only chapter or book you read or page from the story. It wouldn't look like a very good love story, because that's all you would see. Now, if you obviously read the whole Easter story, you realize, yeah, Jesus's love story begins here. You know, he's, you know, born to Mary and Joseph. Yeah, he's crucified, you know, for the sins of the world, but he's resurrected, and the power of God's love sees him through that and restores that to him. And I think sometimes in our love stories, whether it's our marriage, whether it's our life in general, wherever we find ourselves is, I think sometimes we find ourselves in those kind of Good Friday type chapter moments where it's like, man, I don't know if God's love is present in this, you know what I mean? Or I don't know if God can get our marriage through this moment. But, you know, my encouragement, and we can talk about it a little bit, is that I think there's power in us having the faith to trust that God's love will redeem and bring us through situations, that our love story can end as romantically or meaningfully as it begins. I don't know. What do you
think? Sunday's coming.
Sunday's coming. It may be Friday, but Sunday's on the way.
But I hope so. That would be nice, but I don't think it always ends that way. It's not like a little book that
ends true.
Happy. You're saying, you know. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. Maybe not
our earthly love stories, but I think if we're connected to the Father, if we're connected to Christ, then there can be there's redemption in the end for all the dark days of our stories, you know.
Well, I think it's amazing. I mean, I'm not taking my point away from my point, but it's crazy to me how many people, and it's, I think it's sometimes more Old Testament characters, but a lot of people, their story didn't end that well. You know what I mean? And I think, and maybe that is the Old Testament, and they didn't have the Holy Spirit to guide them directly, and they didn't have the sacrifice, you know, of Christ. But, you know, it's not an easy thing to live a whole life and allow love to really rule your decisions. You know what I mean? I know something that I'm learning personally in my life right now is, like, it's amazing how selfish we actually are. You know what I mean? And trying to figure out how to get into this marriage game.
You said something about let love rule. I know there's a song by Lenny Kravitz. It's a great tune.
Thank you.
You got to let love rule. Yeah,
I just practiced that recently.
Did you really? Yeah, it's a great song. Sorry.
It is a great tune.
Yeah.
It is.
No, I think you're right, Smiley. It doesn't guarantee that every story is going to end. It doesn't mean, you know, we don't have no guarantee that our stories will end well. And usually the reasons our stories don't end well is, coming back to that, we make selfish decisions that hurt the people around us, or people around us make those selfish decisions around us. And
well, I like candy, and I get diabetes and die tomorrow. So, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I do love candy.
Japanese
and cheesecake.
Candy.
Japanese candy.
That's
by
right.
The bulk.
These guys know me so well. I've got candy everywhere around this house. And every I hide it like alcoholics hide booze.
Quantity one. Case. I think the coolest thing about being a follower of Christ is knowing that even if your earthly story ends tomorrow and ends horribly, that's not really the end. You know, the end of all of our stories as followers of Christ is glory. So it's like the worst day here on earth isn't the, it's not the, that's not your last day.
Yeah.
And so I think that that's like, that's the love story of Scripture, is that God's, from the beginning of time to the end of time, God is trying to redeem our earthly stories, no matter how broken and ugly they are from start to finish.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I just hope things end up here good, because I like it here on the earth. But if, you know, I heard cool things up in heaven. I bet they have tons of Japanese candy up there. Tons of it.
Sugar-free and taste even better than
Oh, don't you give me that sugar-free stuff, girl.
There is no diabetes.
No diabetes? Perfect. Give me more. Give me Red Lobster cheesy bay biscuits.
Oh, how good are those?
So good.
In the drawn butter, just getting those. Oh.
So good.
Dipping the crab legs in it. Yummy.
Maine lobster is good, but imagine lobster out of the Crystal Sea.
Crystal Sea.
The size of your thighs.
Whoa!
Oh, wait, that's not very big. Well, depends on who you are.
So we have a contest we want to throw out. We talked about May. We talked about race coming up. Here's the deal. We have an opportunity. We want to invite you to a Pub Theology VIP experience at the track.
What?
Here's the deal. Wednesday, May 13th, we are inviting you and a friend to join us at the Fuzzy's Vodka Executive Suite on the 8th floor of the Pagoda right there at IMS. It's high class. You can get in the track. You can watch practice. You can get into a suite and watch practice. But you can very rarely get into a suite that is in the official pergola there right by the start-finish line. And we're inviting you and a friend. Here's the deal. Here's the contest. We need you to send in your best Indy 500 race sounds.
So okay, so maybe an engine. Oh, wait, that sounds like a motorcycle.
That wouldn't
That's
win.
Not right. That wouldn't win.
No.
But you send it, yeah, your best audio with your voice. So you have to use your voice or use you and your kid.
There you go. Well done, here.
You and your husband can get together. You can do it as a family, whatever you want to do.
Yes.
Just do it. Be weird. Be funny. We're looking for funny, unusual, authentic. And you got to send it to us to an email here. And because we're going to listen to all of them and we're going to find the best one.
Yes.
And you're going to. Two tickets to get into
the
suite.
Two tickets to come down to the suite.
Oh, man. That's fantastic.
Day at the track.
Fantastic. But we're going to play. We're listening to them all, and we're going to probably use them on the radio, on the podcast here, too.
Yeah,
we'll
bring
pick
it back
our favorite
next.
One. We'll play all of them, a few of them that are favorites, but then we'll pick one, our favorite, and you're going to win those suite tickets.
So just record it.
Whoa.
And send the email to.
Wow.
Send the email to Darren Early. Actually, it's Darren at pubtheologyindy.com.
Good. That's easy.
Daron.
Oh, it's Daron.
One R and an O. Daron. Darren at pubtheologyindy.com. Send in the audio file. You can record it from your phone or whatever you want to do.
Yeah, do it on your iPhone or whatever. It makes it. It's a weird file type, but we can play it.
We can do
anything. We're magic over here.
We've got it. We've got all the bells and whistles.
Yeah.
So send them in to Darren at pubtheologyindy.com.
Or do video. Do video if you don't know how to do audio. Oh,
yeah, you can do that
too. Do that. Wait, whatever we'll do.
Just get it in.
Get it in.
You need to get it in before the, the week before.
Do it now.
Yeah, do it as quick as
just
you can.
Just do it now.
Do it right now. If you're listening, stop. Make some sounds.
Podcast is weird because you never know when you're going to listen to this.
That's true.
But if it's before the 15th, you better do it quick. That's when you're going to win.
Aaron, are you pulling up race sounds in the background?
Oh, what is he doing over there? I love the sound of the track, man. Those sounds, those cars going around. Everybody, thanks for listening. We'll see you on the next podcast, everybody. And don't forget to listen to the Smiley Morning Show on WZPL. And also, I need some new mic cord if you're thinking about giving. We have a mic cord that was shorted out over here. Hey, everybody. You're listening to Pub Theology, brought to you by
Distinctive Diamonds. If you're looking to get a ring, a necklace, a bracelet, whatever you need, there's no other place to go than the one, the only, the Distinctive Diamonds.
Yeah!
He loved me enough just to set this sinner free. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for saving me.
Joey V, producer of the podcast, has a message now for you. Go ahead, Joey. Thank you. That was so appropriate.
That was deep. It was meaningful.
Holy Spirit, thou art welcome in this place.
I don't know that one.
That one?
Oh, we stumped Aaron.
The omnipotent Father, the mercy, da, da.
Now.